Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of What Days with Murph. That was my first time ever hearing that song, and I love it completely. On the show today, we have a super talented singer-songwriter, Emily Miner, joining us. We'll talk with Emily about her career, music, and anything she's working on that she can talk about. I've been looking forward to this one for a while, hadn't you, Craig?
Oh, yes. Reading Emily's blog and seeing her interact on social media, I've been really excited for today to speak to her.
And with that being said, let's welcome the incredibly talented Miss Emily Miner to the show. Hey, Emily, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I thank you for doing this, and thank you for agreeing to push back the interview for an hour.
Absolutely. Well, I just, you know, really appreciate you asking me and inviting me on. And, you know, anytime I get a chance to kind of talk about what it's like doing what I do, I like the opportunity. So I just thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Like I said in the opener, that was my first time ever hearing that song, and it's my new jam right now.
Well, thank you. It's definitely one of those turn it up loud and kind of roll the windows down and drive fast, really feel good songs. So I appreciate that.
But before we get into things today, I always like to ask the same two questions. Well, they're not really questions, but just kind of introduce yourself and tell the listeners how you got into this music business in the first place.
Yeah, so I have lived in Nashville now for 7 years. And, you know, growing up, I always knew how to sing, and I would perform at little local, like, festivals and in church. But, I mean, I never considered it to be, like, a real career path or a real job until I did American Idol. I did American Idol about 10 years ago. I can't believe it's been that long, but it was back in 2007, and I made it as a top 50 finalist in Hollywood. And that was kind of the first time that I really started to think about music in terms of a career. It kind of opened my eyes to, okay, I didn't think I'd get that far, and I did. So I must have something going on here. I must kind of know what I'm doing. And so that was kind of the first time that I was like, maybe I need to really explore this for more than, you know, just a hobby. So maybe I need to make this a career.
Awesome. You said that you were you lived in Nashville for 7 years, and I detect a southern accent. So, where are you originally from?
Yeah, so I grew up in North Carolina, right on the coast in a town called Wilmington. And Wilmington is great because it's beautiful, first of all, because it's right. But there's a lot of rich farmland in eastern North Carolina. So I really got the best of both worlds. I mean, I had, you know, cotton fields and corn on one side of the road and the ocean on the other side. So I'm very proud to be from North Carolina.
Well, did you grow up on a farm, Emily?
I did not grow up on a farm. My dad has since retired from his job and lives on about 40 acres. And they've got lots of things growing out there, like corn and blueberries and soybeans. So I didn't grow up on it, but I am definitely a farm girl at heart. And I am learning how to be a farm girl now that's kind of what my family has taken on.
No, the way you described North Carolina, where you live in Wilmington, as if you could, like, steal some corn and blueberries and then swim in the ocean running away, swimming away.
I mean, kind of, really, yeah. I mean, I grew up 10 minutes from the beach where, you know, also being from a coastal town, most of the professions there is commercial fishing. So I grew up with some of the best seafood you can imagine. And then, you know, 10 minutes down the road in the other direction is, you know, hog farms and cornfields. So it really was, it's just the best place to come from. But, you know, everybody thinks that about their hometown.
Well, not with me, not anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. You know, I'm a southern boy myself. I'm from Tennessee, born and raised. So there's nothing like living in the South, is there?
No, yeah. And I, like, being here in Nashville, I mean, that was what brought us here, was Nashville kind of had this very small town vibe, even though it is very much a big city for me and my, from based on where I come from, Nashville is a huge city. But that was what brought us here, was even though it's a big city, it's really got a small town vibe. And we just fell in love with the people and the food. Oh my gosh, the food is so good here. So yeah.
What are your favorite foods to eat in Nashville, Emily?
Oh, gosh. Well, my husband is a big, like, barbecue connoisseur. So we eat a lot of barbecue, which is also big in North Carolina as well. So can't escape the barbecue. But, like, I love a good burger and fries. I'm a foodie. Like, I love a big plate of nachos, and you put some pulled pork on there. I mean, there's really nothing I don't like. Anytime we get to go out and kind of be really naughty and eat something really bad for you, like, I'm all for it. Let's go.
Well, I love that food, but forgive me for
language.
Saying this, but I wouldn't come to you for diet advice. I'm sorry.
Yeah, don't do it, because I'm going to tell you to get all the extra cheese and go ahead and add the bacon and all that. Like, don't listen to anything I say when it comes to diet.
Yes, and then it'll be on a dinner on a Friday night for all I.
Mm-hmm. You're speaking my language, my friend. I did kind of have some fun type get to know you questions, if you're okay with it.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Awesome. So this first question, I've asked it in pretty much every interview I've ever done. So if you could go back and change one thing about your career, would you, and what would it be?
Let's see. You know, that's a tough question, because it would be so easy to say, you know, oh, I wish I would have accomplished this by now, or I wish I would have done that. But, you know, I'm a big believer that life unfolds exactly how it's supposed to, and that God has perfect timing. And so I really don't think I'd go and change anything. I have been really blessed to work with some of the best musicians and songwriters in this town. I've had a lot of really cool opportunities. I've gotten to go on the road with a lot of big names and tour, you know, arenas with some of these really big stars. So, I don't think I'd change anything. I mean, it's definitely been tough, but like I said, I think it all unfolds exactly how it's supposed to, and I'm just really blessed that I get to live this life. So no regrets, nothing I would change. I'm happy with where I am right now.
Well, just make sure that all the places you go to have good barbecue places.
That's right.
And that's the same way I feel about this radio show. I started this radio show a little over 5 years ago with zero radio training whatsoever. So I'm literally flying by the seat of my pants here, you know? So,
yeah, and I think that is so cool that you, like, just, you had this dream and this, you know, you're like, I don't know anything about this, but I'm going to learn about it and I'm going to do this. And I think that's really cool.
In today's world, too, I think you have to fulfill, you have to try to, you know, like, not diddle-doddle and not procrastinate, but try to accomplish what you can, and I guess be some little bit more risky. In today's world, you don't know, you know, what's going to happen and when it's going to happen, and then maybe make you feel a little bit more confident or daring, saying, what do I have to lose?
Yeah, I think that was really my whole mindset with even just moving here and doing music in the first place. Like I said, I'd never considered this a career. You know, this wasn't a real job. I was on the straight and narrow to earning my degree in college, and I was going to be an elementary school teacher. And, you know, there was no throwing me off of that one road. And so, I didn't know anybody when I moved here. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any friends. I knew nothing. But I was like, you know what? I have to go. And even if I completely fail and mess everything up, I will say that I tried. Instead of, you know, wondering the rest of my life, you know, what if I had tried? So I'm very happy with my decision.
Yes, and I think a lot of your friends and fans are happy too.
And you just kind of answered my next question inadvertently, but I was going to ask, if you weren't in the music business, what would you be doing right now?
Well, yeah, I went to school to be an elementary school teacher, and I taught kindergarten for about a year before I moved, and I loved it. But looking back now, I have a lot of teacher friends, and I respect them so much, and they are definitely sometimes underappreciated for all that they do, and so I have a lot of respect for my teachers. But I think I was definitely supposed to chase music. Looking back now, I'm kind of like, yeah, I don't know if I was supposed to be a teacher at all. So life has a funny way of twisting and turning and taking you, you know, places you never thought it would.
Well, you literally went from the building blocks that the children play with in kindergarten to the real, I guess, blocks when you made the transition to a music career.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yep. This is always a fun question to ask because we get so many weird, kooky answers to this. It always ends up in a laugh. Okay. I'm gonna throw a scenario at you. You're stranded on a deserted island, and can only take three items with you. What are you taking?
Okay, I'm on an island. I'm going to bring my husband just because he was a Boy Scout, and I'm thinking his survival skills probably outweigh my survival skills. So I'm going to bring my husband. I'm going to bring my Bible, and I'm going to bring a radio that's hopefully like solar powered or something, because eventually my batteries are going to die. But I'm going to bring a radio so I can listen to some music.
You have to.
Very quick.
Yeah.
I like the
Boy Scouts. You have to listen to some music while you're getting a tan.
Exactly.
True. You know, I like the Boy Scout aspect because I was a Boy Scout myself. So.
Very cool. Yeah, I'm not gonna be really good at like starting fires on my own and whatnot. I'm gonna need some help. So I'm definitely gonna need to bring someone with me.
You know, I'm a big fan of artist interviews. I'll watch, read, or listen to pretty much any artist interview I can find, because I think it helps me be better at what I'm doing with the show. And I was watching one time Dan Rather ask a Kid Rock this question, and I'm gonna. I'm gonna ask you, when everything's said and done with your career, and you've won a CMA award after CMA award, which is gonna happen for you, there's not a doubt in my mind it's gonna happen. What's the one thing that you want to be remembered for as an artist?
I would like to be remembered as an artist. Just that I did everything I could to keep that country music sound alive. Our genre is changing and evolving, and we've got a lot of really great music coming out of Nashville right now, and we've got a lot of music that doesn't sound like that traditional country. And I grew up on George Strait and Merle Haggard and all the great women of the 90s, Faith Hill and Reba. And I'm a sucker for a steel guitar and a fiddle, and some of our music today doesn't have a lot of that on it, and it really breaks my heart. So I'd like to be remembered for trying to keep that sound alive. And I think, too, just to be remembered for really loving country music, because I do. I mean, I've always loved country music since I was a little girl. And so I guess as an artist, I just want to be remembered for, you know, having a heart for this music.
You know, it is partially country has like expanded into so many different genres today, like pop country and R&B country.
Yeah.
Like, Dan
Hunt, mm-hmm.
like Kelsey, I guess, is more pop country. If you heard the song "Listen to Me More," honestly,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't sound country at all. It sounds like it could easily be on the pop song or the hip hop chart. And I don't think people would realize the difference. Then
right,
again, I don't
yeah,
think.
Yeah, and
would...
I.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, I don't even think they would care. I think they'll say, oh, what a great country song, mm-hmm. even though it doesn't sound country. That's how music in country has changed from classic country like Patsy Cline, the guitar and the fiddle, like you were saying, to like
mm-hmm.
all these country genres.
Yeah, and you know, it's hard because I'm trying to stay relevant in this genre that's changing sonically, but I'm also trying to stay authentic to what country music is and what it's always been. So it's kind of tough learning how to maneuver your way in this business with the evolving sound, but, you know, trying to keep that rootsy traditional country production. So it's something I'm learning how to do.
There are plenty of people that miss that classic Patsy Cline sound, and I'm sure, you know, the fact that your desire to bring it to them is going to be appreciated more than you know, Emily.
Well, I hope so.
I want to switch gears here a second and talk. It seems like nowadays pretty much everybody's on social media. Social media is basically taking over our lives at this point. So, speaking of that, how has social media affected your career thus far?
Social media has been great in terms of being able to get my music out there to people who don't know who I am. You know, we spend so much of our time with our phones in our hands, and we're constantly scrolling. And, you know, I do it. I discover music that way. You know, someone's video pops up on my Facebook feed because of a friend shared it or whatever, and I go, well, who's that? And let me check this out. So, I mean, in terms of just getting yourself out there and bringing awareness to who you are and what you're doing, it's been great for that. I've been able to connect with a lot of people and a lot of fans and hear some really great stories just about their lives or how my music has brought them joy or, you know, how they've related to my songwriting. So that's really cool, too, to be able to just communicate with fans. I love getting messages from anybody, and I always directly respond myself. So social media has been great for that. I hate that we've sort of lost our manners on social media. I think a lot of people, it's really easy to kind of hide behind your computer screen and say something nasty to, you know, someone's video or picture or whatever. So I'm kind of disappointed in us that social media has in some ways kind of caused us to forget our manners and just etiquette. So I have a love-hate relationship for social media. I'm on social media. I like to use it. But there are definitely days where I'm just like, I cannot look at this today. I cannot do this today. So it's got its pros and cons.
I understand that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with everything that's going on in the world today, I think, you know, this, even though we try not to have hate, you know, at
mm-hmm.
least if they don't have hate, this frustration for what's happening today. And I think based on I don't want to speak politics, but I think you can relate to the fact a lot of people are frustrated with our commander in chief. And I think this
mm-hmm.
with what's happening, you know, with all these events in Vegas, in New York that happened less than a mile from when I work, in Texas, it's very hard not to have some type of negativity. And not to be able
it is.
To social media.
It is. It is. And I think that we kind of have to stop giving it life, really. We've, You know, and I think it, a lot of people think, you know, well, I can't really make a difference. And it's like, you know, you don't have to make a difference in the world. Just start by being kind to someone at the grocery store you see. You know, hold the door for someone, and let's try to restore our faith in humanity just by extending a hand and just being friendly to the person right next to you. I think we have to kind of stop giving all the negativity and all the hate so much life. And by doing that, we have to kind of stop talking about it and stop feeding the beast.
You know,
I agree.
I kind of on the same note as the last question. Considering social media is so it's so prevalent now and so in the forefront, do you think it's easier now for people to be noticed by not just the music industry, but the entertainment industry as a whole, than it was, say 20 or 25 years ago?
You mean in terms of like a music executive like discovering someone on social media, like kind of
yeah.
like that?
Yeah,
totally. Like, hello, Justin Bieber. I mean, I think, you know, all you have to do is have a ton of engagement on your social medias, or you've got, you know, it only takes that one video to get a million views, that people start buzzing about it, and they start talking about it. And I've seen it happen in Nashville. I've seen people who, you know, maybe aren't on the road touring and whatnot, but they are, you know, putting up videos every week, and they're gaining this traction, and they're gaining this engagement, these followers, and people start noticing it. So I do think that social media has a big, plays a big role in discovery these days.
I've got just a couple more questions for you, then I think we're gonna wrap things up. But before we get to that, I wanted to talk about what's coming up for you in the next 3 or 4 months. What's coming up for you?
Yeah, I'm going to be traveling a lot. I'm actually, I've got a really early call in the morning to head to Chicago and play. So I'm going to be out and traveling all over. I just got back from Dallas and Houston like a couple weeks ago. So I'll be hitting the road hard and visiting some new places and playing some music. I'm going to just right now, usually typically how this, how it works in Nashville is this, it's kind of seasonal. So, now is the time where artists are really doing a lot of songwriting, and they're heading into the studio and they're recording demos, or they're working on their next album. So that then when spring and summer rolls around, they then go on tour to promote those albums that they worked on now. So I'll be writing a lot, and hopefully getting in the studio to make some new music. But, yeah, like I said, I'm just kind of going to be traveling like crazy. I'll be going home for the holidays and seeing my family. I'm looking forward to that. But, yeah, we'll spend the winter just really, like, also kind of just enjoying some downtime and enjoying being still for a minute and being able to, you know, spend some time working on our more creative process so that when the spring rolls around, we will be traveling again.
Awesome. And I wanted to I'll let you know, every Friday I host a show called Indie Country Radio, and I'd be more than happy to play your stuff on the show.
Oh, that would be so great. Thank you. I really, really appreciate that.
Yes. And Emily, when I come to Nashville, which I usually do 3-4 times a year, including CMA Fest, I would love to see you perform live and to get a meet with you briefly afterwards and give you a hug, if that's okay.
Absolutely. I would love that. We usually always play a show during CMA Fest, so if you're up here for that, I am sure we can make that happen.
Well, thank you. I look forward to it, Emily.
Yeah, me too.
Like I said, I've got a couple more questions for you.
Okay.
As a creative person, which I know you obviously are, what inspires or motivates you?
You know, sometimes I look at what other people are doing and I'll, you know, hear a song or I'll see a performance and I'm like, that is really cool. I love that. I love the way they sang that, or I like the way they, you know, played on this lyric. So a lot of times I look to my peers and other artists around me and I'm kind of checking out what they're doing. And, you know, whatever I think is really working or whatever, you know, I gravitate towards, I start to go, well, how can I do that and make it my own? How can I do something like that, you know, but is authentic to me? And then, you know, just things like my family motivates me. You know, I want to do things that make them proud. My fans motivate me. My fans are the first to tell me I did something great or to turn around and tell other people about it. So, yeah, I look to them a lot for that kind of motivation as well.
I've got to say this. I've interviewed a bunch of independent musicians, specifically country, and the country music genre as a whole, I believe, is their stars are some of the most approachable people in this world.
They are. I've been on the road with a handful of their artists. I was out with Scotty McCreery and Lee Bryce and Dustin Lynch. And everyone that I have been out with has always been so friendly. They've always taken the extra time to hang out with me and the band and get to know me or want to know what I'm doing. And I agree. I've also just been out in Nashville, like at the grocery store and like bump into Vince Gill. And every time I ever approach someone and say, hey, I just want you to know I'm a fan. I really love you. They're always so friendly. I mean, I've never come across anybody who has been anything less than really friendly and really kind out here in Nashville.
Well, do you see,
I
just out of curiosity, so let's whatever you bump most of them in the country store, you know, like you said, they're very cordial. Have you met anyone that'll like to stay private or go the other direction? Just
I usually kind of like try to I kind of try to gauge the situation myself. Like one of the first years that I moved to Nashville, this has been, I don't know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I was eating breakfast at the Loveless Cafe and Randy Travis was in there. And I am a huge Randy Travis fan and I really, really wanted to approach him and say hello. And I probably could have, but he had two other people dining with him and the whole mood kind of seemed like they were having a business meeting. So there was, you know, kind of a voice that was like, you know what? You'll have another opportunity. Let this one go. It just, you know, it just didn't seem appropriate to walk up and bother him in what kind of appeared to be a meeting. I have lots of friends who have met him and they've said he's very, very nice. So it probably wouldn't have been a big deal. But I've never like met any or, you know, seen anybody who was like kind of standoffish or like, you know, wanted to be left alone. Everyone's always usually been, you know, very friendly and willing to, you know, stop and say hello and take the time.
So that's great to hear.
I know you mentioned the Loveless Cafe. That is literally 5 minutes from my aunt's house. And
oh my gosh, it's so good. They're the best food.
I've been to Nashville numerous times and I've never ate there, believe it or not.
What? Okay, you're not doing Nashville right. You got to come back, and you got to go, and you got to get some biscuits, and all. I told y'all, I like to eat, so you got to go get all the yummy food because it is so good.
Oh, but it says Loveless. I didn't think they had. I thought they didn't have any love in their food. It's why something.
Oh, well, let me tell you. No.
Oh boy.
Let me tell you, it's chock full of love, and it is delicious.
I see. So you just have to wait to digest the field of love. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
I'll take your word on that because I'll be in Nashville in December for a little something. So I'll definitely stop by and eat there.
Yeah, don't leave until you eat there, and let me know how you like it. Make sure you tell me what you got and if you liked it.
Will do. The last question I believe I've got for you is, professionally speaking, what's the best thing that's ever happened to you?
Professionally, I mean, you know what? Anytime, it doesn't matter what kind of show it is or where we are, you know, what's going on. Anytime a fan comes up and says, you know, oh my gosh, I love this song you wrote. It totally, you know, helped me when I was going through this, or it, you know, makes me think of this every time I hear it. That gives me so much validation for what I do. You know, so anytime that someone comes up and says, you know, your music really helped me or really changed me, that is just, that's the best feeling ever.
Thank you for doing this. This has been so much fun.
I thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This has been really great. And when you reached out to me, I mean, I was so excited. I was all about it. Just the thought that, you know, you think I'm interesting enough that you guys want to talk to me, that was great. And I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Emily, I learned those you from Cody. And since then, I've been so happy that he introduced me to you through social media. And from there, I engaged and asked of you to be on a guest. And since then,
mm-hmm.
you have more than exceeded my expectations, both as a singer-songwriter and as a person.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that.
I tell all my guests this, but it's especially true for you. I have a ton of respect for you, both as an artist and a person, and I have a lot of respect for what you do.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, from the bottom of my heart, it completely validates, you know, why we do this, and thank you.
You know, and I hope I'm not overstepping here, but from following you on social media and talking to you past 40 minutes or so on the show, I do consider you a very dear friend.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I mean, really, thank you so much.
Before we wrap, where can fans follow you online if they wanna keep up with what you're doing?
Yeah, so I'm on all the social media outlets: Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's just at Emily Minor Music, and Minor is MINOR, just like the opposite of major. So Emily Minor Music is my handle for all the social medias, and then you can download or stream all my music on iTunes and Spotify.
Awesome. I think I'm gonna I'll let you go and let you get back to your evening, but thank you again for doing this.
Thank you so much. Really, at any time. This is such a joy and a treat to talk to you guys, and anytime you need a guest, I'd love to. So thank you so much for asking.
Absolutely, and I'll definitely be talking to you on social media, okay?
All right. Thank you so much, guys. Have a good night.
You too, Emily.
You too.
Enjoy the CME Award.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Emily. She is so sweet. Oh, my good Lord.
Well, she really was very friendly and open about herself.
She surely was.
Very
in the 5 minutes we've got, what's coming up next week, Craig? And next week is our last week of shows for the year. That's kind of crazy to think about, but whatever.
But it's a fantastic week. We have Haley and Alexis, a young up-and-coming female duo, on Monday. Tuesday, we have a superstar in the making, Maggie Bowe, who's so talented, sang at the Josie Awards and just knocked everyone dead. I mean, off their feet, I should say, not dead. And then next Wednesday, just signed, we have the lovely Alexis Taylor from Canada.
And I think I'm gonna let you go and wrap up here, okay, buddy? I'll talk to you Monday.
All right. Have a good weekend. See you Monday.
All right, man. You too.
Great.
Hope you guys enjoyed our interview with the lovely Miss Emily Miner. I think you guys heard the announcements from Craig. So I think I'm going to go ahead and end the episode right here. You've been listening to Weekdays with Murph. Thank you and goodbye.